Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out. And the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't.
Good morning, listeners and MUA members. Welcome to 3CR in honour of David Ball. This is Radical Radio.
Because it's live, the chair just collapsed on me.
That's fantastic.
You are here for MUA Fire Up with Aaron, Robbie and Dean from the Victorian branch of the Maritime Union of Australia. David Ball, our regular co-host, is an apology this morning because he's somewhere
enjoying himself
on a break in Samoa, I think. So he won't be here today, but he'll be back in a couple of shows' time. So he's on some hard-won annual leave that the union movement won. So
good for him. Good for him. Well, it's just like Pete Seeger said, you know, you get a chance to take your kiddies to the seaside.
Exactly. And that's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, I'm sure, he's sipping cocktails and sending messages through. You're on leave, mate.
Whilst he's sipping cocktails, though, work at in MUA land, as he likes to call it, still continues, and we've been pretty busy over the last fortnight.
We're
on a persistent campaign that's been now running for a couple of decades to see Australian seafarers returned to the Australian coast. That is, people just walking up the gangways of our ships and moving our cargo around our coast that are getting paid our wages.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because there's a lot of tum-thumping about nationalism and us being Australia and Fight Australia and all those rallies they had the other week. But we don't have Australian seafarers on our coast.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, it's not amazing, sorry. It was disgusting what we saw the other week. And the racism that was attached to those rallies is something that should be condemned. And I think we're going to get to that a little bit later in the show. But you're right. All this chest thumping about how good and how proud we are to be Aussies stops when it comes to the practical application of ensuring that we have work in our country. And some of that work for many decades have been seafaring
and
maritime.
And it really doesn't matter
work.
If you've got your brown, black, brindle or white, really.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. No, we all just need jobs.
Yeah.
and we were up in Canberra this week and a few of our... Well, not this week, sorry.
Last week.
We had our seafaring delegates up there meeting with politicians.
We had, we sent, Penny Howard from National Office was up there meeting with a lot of politicians.
Did she get the short straw?
No. Well, that's right, man, to meet with all these politicians. And so we sent a rank and file to have a different point of view rather than just... and what it means to a seafarer for offshore wind.
Yeah, exactly.
In particular.
Right. And Damien has been in the industry for a long time.
And Damien Betts has been in the... And saw some terrific photos. Yeah, she's scrubbed up all right. He got a bit dressed up. But he did a great job, and I spoke to him earlier this week about his trip and how much he really thoroughly enjoyed it and a real eye-opener for him. So that continues what the branch has been doing in sending rank and filers. You know, we had the Canberra thing a little while back with Christian, Dave and Brenda Reeson and Peter Evans, and there was a big delegation go from the branch. And then we had Charlie Weldon and Dave up there as well around the Strategic Fleet stuff as well. So that's all happened in the past few weeks. So we're, our engagement.
MUA members have been taking off the steel cap boots and hitting the halls of Parliament, hey? Yeah,
that's right. But it's that continues the rank and file engagement that, that we're quite renowned for, and that and we will always be a rank and file union, and that's exactly what we're driven by. We're a bottom up union, not a top down. And so that's been really terrific. To see that happen, and
it, probably interesting, or just on that point of us being a rank and file driven and led union, the strategic fleet event that Charlie Weldon and a number of other Victorians held came from a motion at the Victorian Stop Work meeting that Charlie pushed and said, we need to get back into Parliament. We want to be meeting with some politicians up there sooner rather than later. And that went that got pushed. It got moved at our monthly meeting and accelerated through our national office. And then we had that set up within 6 weeks, I think, of him moving that motion to continue that campaign, because that was how the rank and file want to do it.
So actually, what you're talking about is the Brains Trust is the members.
100%. Of course it is.
Absolutely.
100%. Of course it is. 100% it is. That's all we all are. It's just members have worked on ships and
they do this in sci-fi. They talk about it as being hive. The hive.
It's funny, you know. We want the rank and file engagement, like, and then, Charlie's a little bit of a firebrand. He can be, and it was fair to say that Paddy had to say, "Now listen, Charlie. Now listen. When we're going to
settle down, young man.
Don't get me going off." And a little pep talk, Pry. You know, little pep talk before you run through the banner. But
I love it.
So that was a little bit amusing, but it was fantastic to have that rank and file engagement over the last three trips to Canberra.
It is, but and our lobbying and our pursuit to see the growth of seafarers jobs particularly doesn't stop in the halls of Parliament. Earlier this week, the branch was down at the Gippsland New Energy Conference.
Well, the branch you were. Couldn't get any volunteers to go with you.
Well, down there at the Gippsland New Energy Conference, there because it was a it's a collection of both activists who want to assist in the fight against climate change, but also employers that are active in that space. So there are offshore wind developers down there that we managed to pin down and get MOUs signed with around how they're going to engage their contractors and the union when they do begin to turn soil, for lack of better words, or begin construction of the offshore wind farms in the areas that they're now currently seeking feasibility licences. And we're happy to say that we've got MOU signed with a number of them, and we only have a couple of outstanding ones to go. But it's good because it demonstrates that there's going to be positive engagement and that those jobs will in fact be union jobs. We've seen in other parts of the clean or the green economy, employers or rogue developers absolutely sidestep around union agreements and safety, and it's culminated in catastrophes, I guess, in onshore wind and in onshore solar, where we've seen
people have died.
Yeah, Sparkies and other construction workers die because the employers block unions out. But now that we've got the developers locked away, we'll just have to wrangle the contractors. But that should be easier with an agreement with the developers in the first instance. So it's a process that we've used.
It's a long process. It's been a long process with a lot of meetings.
But the framework that we're using is the framework that we use for the development of offshore oil and gas as well. So it's an established kind of concept that industry broadly understands, and it is a process that has produced outcomes for our members in the past, and we expect to see it produce outcomes in the future. So it was great work by Thomas and our national office again in doing the mapping and understanding where the industry is looking most probable, and giving us the ability to get down there and pin them down.
We're doing all this work in the offshore wind space, and the reality is, unless the federal government's going to tick off on some significant investment. You know, it's really at a crossroads.
And, exactly right.
It's not a Victorian thing, but if it doesn't kick off in Victoria, it won't happen in this country.
Well, it's really fascinating because they keep putting large amounts of money into corporate welfare for fossil fuels, and they've just given the go-ahead to the expansion of a major coal mine. You know, it's sort of like they say one thing but they do another.
Yeah.
Why? What's going on there?
Masters.
Yeah.
It really is awful. But that's where it sits now. It sits with virtually, like, it's gone past the minister's office to really, it takes the prime minister's office to tick off on the investment.
Mm.
And if he doesn't tick off on it, it won't happen.
I think there was an aura of excitement and optimism down at the conference amongst the industry, which is good. It's good to see that there's still some confidence there. There's some good signalling by the federal government as to support for the industry. You're right; they need to tip in some money to get to some seed funding, is what it would be, to make sure that the industry really kicks along. That we're able to develop, particularly that we can develop supply chains within Australia that will create like manufacturing jobs.
Yep.
Other sorts of tasks and roles that we would have completed in the past in years gone by, but that should all be part of the Building Australia fund or future fund that the government is promoting. Yeah, that's right. And so there's a bit of work to be done there, but they have sent some good signals. They've now taken the next step to getting the Hastings port, yeah, the renewables terminal built, which is good because without a specifically built port, we're not going to have an industry here either. We just don't have the capacity at our current ports to be able to lay down equipment so large that it can be assembled and then moved onto a larger vessel and constructed here. Mm. So there is some good signalling, but you're right, there needs to be a bit more happening, and I'm just an impatient person often, so it'd be good to see that happen yesterday.
Most definitely. But we'll move on from there. We had some in the we had the last stoppy. We had Danae and Dom and Oscar from Trades Hall come to and address the stoppy on AI and workplace surveillance, and that was actually really well received by the membership. They put up, you know, a slideshow, if you like, and about where they're at and where they've been and what they've taken. Different, even the European Union, they've taken out of there to try and. So we're actually in Victoria, in this country, in Victoria, we're the most further advanced around government submissions around workplace surveillance and AI and all that sort of stuff. So it was really interesting.
It's amazing. It's terrifying, actually, that we're the most furthest advanced, but the Surveillance Act of Victoria has a small coverage. Of workplaces, which is basically don't put a camera in a toilet.
There's about four things, and that's otherwise chuck them wherever you want.
Yeah, we're the most advanced, and if other states are further behind us,
toilet cameras.
No.
Not yet. But
who knows what's happening in Queensland?
But there was an example given of somebody's on a phone talking to a customer, and they used. They used what they called a negative word in that and the AI picked it up, and that person was then given a warning.
Yeah.
Because the AI picked up some sort of negative word, and another one was where they...
AI would blow up if it heard a phone call from you to me. Jeez, you're never nice to me.
Well, what do you do? You get out of what you put into it, mate. So it's quite incredible that generates.
It's absolutely gutless. You think about it. It's been happening in America with the Amazon places where people get fired by AI.
Well,
right?
That's what happened with the Coles dispute here last year.
Yeah, that people getting fired by a machine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the bosses are so gutless that they don't want to feel bad about having to actually manage. The other thing to remember is, I don't know if you remember, last year there was a young bloke at one of the warehouses
yeah.
who was killed by the machine because it mistook him for a box.
Mm. Yeah, really.
That's
yeah, well, that's good. Yeah, and so that is that actually it's, really feeds into our campaign down at DP World.
Really
we're going to get into,
but surreal.
That's yeah, that's and that's the extreme end. But that's what's happening, right?
Oh, yeah.
People are being killed by equipment and algorithms that don't know it was about to pick me up then because I was about to use one of those
naughty words.
and now employers are starting to roll that out, and it's costing people their lives in the most extreme circumstances, but jobs as well.
Yeah.
And do we really want this?
No. Surely the community. Sure,
people should go and watch that film Brazil. It was made in 1980, and it's got this whole sequence in it about Tuttle Buttle. They mistook a person, and they all came in and they grabbed him, but it was because there was a difference in the letter Tuttle Buttle.
Okay.
It's a tuttle and a buttle.
Oh,
might be a good weekend. Watch that one.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us are surprised that the trade union movement has taken the lead in this. And that's we need to get behind what Trades Hall are doing. It's obviously, pushing government to make those legislative changes, which are really important. There was over 24 recommendations out of that submission, I think, that Trades Hall have
Trades
put
Hall
to
are
the government.
Doing a great job in putting submission to the Victorian government.
AI could be a great tool, but it shouldn't be used to replace people or to. It needs to be heavily confined so that it's not the interface or where people or the decision maker that happens at critical points, which is what happens in factories and what happens at wharves, right?
Yeah.
And that's why we've been fighting back against it, and that's why we'll continue to
push back against the banking sector, where the Commonwealth Bank have now put back 45 people and the ANZ Bank are doing it. But they're actually getting what they're doing. They're training the bots, humans are training the bots to do their job.
But do you remember the headline from the week before? The Commonwealth Bank fired people and then had to rehire them.
Rehired the 45 of them, yeah.
Because it didn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But it will.
The trouble is
it will at some stage.
The banks
they're
are on
not
a war
stopping.
Path against employment now.
Yeah.
Because they're not making any money.
Oh, nah. Yeah.
Like, gee whiz.
Yeah. If only they'd make some cash.
Yeah.
So just to make more.
A few thousand jobs have gone in the last week, I think. And look, I've only read the headlines, so I'm not exactly sure what the cause is. I know that they've titled it as restructures, but I imagine that there is a
no. It's probably reform.
Reform.
That's a bit different than restructure. That's a lot different.
But I imagine if they're able to get rid of that many people, they're putting in some sort of automated process, you would think.
Yeah, and also that the...
Which is AI, which is what we need to fight back against.
But the lead time, they don't make decisions just overnight, so they've been leading towards this. Also, I don't know if you realise this, but that rather scary organisation from America, Palantir, that is behind Trump's carry-on with the AI, Coles is in bed with Peloton. They're the ones that are organising all their stuff in their shops.
That's
what's ahead of us is a bit frightening. It is a bit scary.
Not a great time to be bringing children into this world, but anyways.
Well.
Oh, yeah. I've got a world to win. Do you want
to
play a song? You've got plenty of things to talk about.
I reckon we'll keep going and just do one song this show. Because
I think so,
because
you're gabbers.
Oh,
yeah,
well, it's because you've all come together in the studio to have a chat.
Yeah, it's much
better.
And
it's much better.
It is much better. We all agree it's much better live. All of us agree. It's just getting the availability.
And just remembering that you are on the MUA Fire Up show on 3CR, your community radio station.
Oh, well done, Annie. Very, very well done.
There's no ads on this, but there's a quick plug. we're going to move into some industrial reports then. If Robbie's taken the music off you, so you can't enjoy yourselves now. We're just going to go straight to industrial reports. I would like to kick off with...
Ben and I just go and you can just finish the show, mate?
That sounds good.
Go and grab some breakfast.
It's all about ice.
Order me some eggs. I'll see you there in 20 minutes. I just want to kick off with big congratulations to our members down at VICT. We have concluded their EA, and that was voted up last week. There are some amazing outcomes that have been achieved by the delegates and the members down there, and we managed to get them without a day of industrial action, which is fantastic. Something that's becoming a bit of a theme on the waterfront this year. If you're an employer that is not DP World
or Cube,
but it was good to see, and we've got the members down there will receive pay rises of between 26% and 46% depending on which grade they were. Over the 4 years, their average weekly hours will reduce by about 7 or 8 hours over the time, or up front if you're one of the lucky 40 people that get put onto a new roster and promoted from being casual to permanent. Anyway, so it was some really good outcomes there. The great thing about it is that eight years ago, we started organising VRCT as a union after it had started with a non-union agreement. And now we've seen where we went from being 50 or 60% behind the industry now to matching the industry in a couple of years' time. So yep. The members at VRCT will be matching what the members at DP World and Patrick's get, albeit with different structures, but they do, by the time this agreement concludes, they'll be matching them. And it gives us as a union the ability to ratchet up the industry and make sure that there is no race to the bottom. And yep. And I think we should congratulate the membership down there and congratulate the delegates, because without the leadership of the delos and the support of the rank and file, we would not have been able to achieve this. So it was a great outcome, and they should all be congratulated and thanked.
100%. And when companies work out that if they can work with us, we don't need to go to protected industrial action. Work with us to get the outcomes that all the people who make them the money are all the ones who are turning up to work every day. Give them what they deserve and everything's all right, you know. And when you have that mentality, as opposed to some of the other companies we deal with, you know, we get outcomes.
Yeah.
That's all it's
mutually
about.
Mutually beneficial outcomes that are great for us.
Mutually beneficial that are great for us.
We're not always there to screw like the boss.
That's actually fantastic.
Well, an awful lot of it is about wanting cheap labour, and they do that through. But it's about bean counters. I remember going to the Fair Work Commission when they were fighting around the better overall test for Coles. I'm picking on Coles. Sorry, I didn't mean to, but that was what it was about. It was a long time ago. It was when RAFU began. And the guy from the bean counter section of Ernest & Young was there, and he was giving evidence, and he was talking about how they'd given him the information about what he had to work out. And one of the things was that the meat workers in the butchery only needed two aprons a year, right? And he was saying all this stuff in with complete honesty because he was a bean counter.
Yeah,
madness.
Oh, EAs. We're just about wrapped up. Sea Road, Sea Fair and EA. We have reached in principle agreement, as we reported back in the last meeting. Going through the drafting yesterday and today, and we're hopefully get a document out of today. But, you know, you talk about automation, the impact that it has on our industry or industries in general. But Sea Road's EA... we need to basically rewrite the whole document. It's an old document that's been rolled over for several years. And part of the change on those vessels was the implementation of automatic mooring systems, as you guys know. So, which then had the flow-on impact of those ships being, have a reduced manning. So part of our locker claims through this round of negotiations was to get that manning back up to where it should be, in line with the other vessels on Bass Strait, which we're able to achieve, which has been a great outcome. So we've got the manning back up to where it needs to be.
That's good. That's really good, mate.
It is good. It's an excellent outcome. It was one of the major claims, along with some
That's
extra
leave. That's a safety issue, right?
Yeah. So, you know, the vessels from when these automated mooring systems were in place were a lot smaller vessels. The cargo volumes were a lot lower than what they are now, so that the vessels have grown in size over the years. which in turn creates larger, you know, cargo volumes, which is more work for our members on board those ships. So,
so it's a safety and workload.
Yeah, exactly right. And reducing people's working hours. When we're only paid for 8, we shouldn't be working 14 plus.
Oh.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Does great that, outcomes
we know that, links, that goes for union officials
we,
too?
We know that...
That's next.
We know that links are... even though Dave looks after links, we know that his report from the last meeting, a lot of meetings were that there was some positive movement there, so we think they're getting closer, if you like. We did forget to mention that there was delegates training during the week, and it was fantastic to have over 30 people, young women, young men, all doing the training with Kush. That was absolutely outstanding, and that was one of the most pleasing delegates trainings that I've been able to witness.
Great work by Dave Cush, and well done to the delegates. And a highlight of that was that they went down to Trades Hall and learn about the history of the union movement.
Everyone should do that too.
And that just quickly segues us into the history of the union movement is a proud history of fighting for all oppressed people and walking with people from all walks of life. We have had a rocky road getting here, but we've discovered that solidarity amongst everybody is better. So we condemn the racist actions that have happened and the fascism that is coming. And we think that Australia looks better in black. And this is Better in Black by Thelma Plum.
Have a great day, members.
Thanks, comrades.
See you, comrades.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.